The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
This is plant-based professional wrestler Austin Aries, and you can check out my new book, Food Fight, at austinariesbook.com.
Very excited to have Austin Aries on the program here today. I was reading his bio, quite an extensive bio, and the world of professional wrestling, and we can touch on that a little bit later on, but right now, we're having him on about his book, his authorness, I guess, if you will, about his plant-based lifestyle. For me personally, I'm a plant-based person. I used to say I was a vegan, and about a year and a half ago, I started shying away from that word. It just didn't quite represent who I was, I guess, so I started using the word plant-based, so I find it interesting you're using that word as well. Mine came from a method journalism, interviewing Dr. Neil Bernard, did it for 3 weeks, and never turned back. So the reason I just wanted to set the table a little bit to kind of let you know that I've been practicing for now 10 years for the plant-based diet, and I've found amazing results. Happy to have you on the program to talk about the industry, to talk about your book, and just really, I think, one of the fastest growing markets in the United States. Austin Aries, let's talk about your journey. How did it start, and why are you plant-based?
Well, first of all, you're taking all my material, Jason. Yeah, no. Listen, I'm with you on the plant-based versus vegan thing. I started out. You know, to answer your question, I gave up meat in 2000, which was the same year I started professional wrestling. And from there, as I started peeling back the layers of what I call the corporate food system, it was a journey and a progression that now has led me for the last 6+ years to be completely plant-based. And again, the benefits, as you said, are numerous. Not just for yourself and your own health and well-being, but you can talk about for the environment and also the animals who appreciate it. The term vegan for me, I've also kind of shied away from it because I do know there's a stigma that's attached to it, and it's also an all-or-nothing proposition. And, in my journeys and in my message, I don't want to set people up for failure. I want to set them up for success, and that's why I like to use the word plant-based diet, because anybody can implement more of a plant-based diet into their lifestyle and be successful at that. And, I want to be inclusive. I want to bring more people into this than I want to push away. And to your point, it is one of the biggest growing and emerging markets, from a business standpoint. And just overall, as you look at the landscape, I know the options and things that I had going back 5 or 10 years ago compared to nowadays. And it's easier and easier now more than ever to implement more of a plant-based lifestyle.
What really attracts me to this whole thing, in our programs, we generally have some sort of a dietary health and wellness topic on. And for me, this is great because this I look at from a marketing aspect, meaning that I think WWE and professional wrestling is one of the greatest marketing machines on the planet. Probably American Idol would be very similar in that they really can tell different demographics very well. WWE used to have different gimmicks and characters, and they could see what sells and what t-shirts. American Idol could do that with music genres. And to see a plant-based or a vegan wrestler not only be that gimmick on the screen, but also practice that. Talk to me a little bit about that. Was that something that you saw behind the scenes demographic information on, or were you just observing this and saying, boy, my eyes are not lying to me. I'm seeing the numbers. I'm seeing this happen.
Obviously I've been doing this it's been a journey for 17 years. I was only with WWE for 18 months. And, I never really got to use my platform there to really promote this message. When I talk about a corporate food system, the WWE is the corporate wrestling system. And with that comes our corporate sponsors like Wendy's and Pizza Hut. And I'm sure someone like me going out there and speaking against those very foods wasn't something that they were too keen on. So they didn't really get behind my book, and that could be a reason for that. But now that I've left there, it's giving me the chance and the platform to go out and really promote this and do so without any restrictions. As far as to what you're saying, for the last 15+ years, I've gone around all over this country, really all over the world, and, meeting fans, I'm doing meet and greets, I'm doing autograph signings, and I'm taking pictures, and I'm shaking hands, and I'm seeing more and more, especially this demographic, is a lot of unhealthy people, and not just unhealthy people, but a lot of unhealthy kids, a lot of 8, 10, 12-year-old kids who are already on their way to type 2 diabetes, maybe later on heart disease, you know, and all these afflictions that are affecting everybody. And I don't think it's because parents are malicious. I think it's because they're misinformed and they're ill-informed. Because let's be quite frank, in this system, in this country, there's no money in healthy people. And there's no money in curing people. The money is in treating sick people. So we have a corporate food system that likes to keep people sick, send them to our healthcare system that's not educated in food because it doesn't fit their business model. They'd rather give you a pill to treat you than to tell you that you can cure some of these diseases and ailments on your own by simply your food choices.
Hmm. Boy, I almost feel like I'm interviewing myself here, listening to you. I mean, I'm looking at, I'm looking at my journey. I mean, my entire life, I've been self-employed all but 3 years. I used to be a publisher and a writer back in my former life, and then during the economic recession back in 2007, I actually took a job with a corporation, a media outfit, and I couldn't, you know, it was great. I had a huge platform, this and that, but they would only let me talk about certain topics. The topics I used to talk about, like the diabetes issues and, you know, what's happening to the honeybees and cannabis, some of the research done on cannabis, they wouldn't let me touch any of these things. Well, I left there after 3 years. People thought I was crazy. They were like, are you kidding me? You know, you're leaving a six-figure job for, you know, whatever. Well, now I'm on over 30 radio stations. I'm in 20-some publications. I'm writing for four or five different industry publications, that sort of thing. So for me, I'm seeing such a resurgence in what I used to call the third world of media. In wrestling, I know they call it the indie scene, the indie thing. You just mentioned that you were only with WWE for 18 months, and they wouldn't really let you, I guess, utilize that platform. Are the indies allowing this? Is it turning into be? I assume you're still doing some professional wrestling in addition to the books. Is that true?
Oh yeah. I had a 90-day period where basically it's called a no-compete clause, where they pay you to not wrestle for anybody else. And, during that time, I started to do some of these other, events and stuff more in the plant-based community. So here's the interesting thing about professional wrestling. We're all classified as independent contractors. But when you sign with a company like WWE, you basically sign over your life. They own you, for lack of a better term. So now that I'm actually truly an independent contractor again, and I make my own schedule and I pick and choose where and when I wrestle, my schedule is actually very full. I've got about 12 dates starting tonight, running through the rest of this year, and I have more, I have more things in my inbox and opportunities in my inbox than I could possibly handle. So, you know, it is important for me to continue to use this platform of professional wrestling to help and spread the message of the plant-based lifestyle. And, it is a great thing that, you know, there's an opportunity for people to do that, because the one thing you have to remember about corporations is that, you know, by definition and by law, they don't have to have a conscience. They're only beholden to their shareholders and to show profit. And I think the biggest problem in this country and with the capitalist idea is that we continually put profits over people. And until that changes, we're not going to see any real difference and real change in this world.
Let me ask you about Austin Aries on the line with us here. Food Fight is the name of his latest book. It's about his journey as a plant-based lifestyle. In addition to being a professional wrestler, I mean, to be one, you're also, you know, you've got some size to you. You've got some muscle to you. People's first reaction when it comes to, you know, vegan or plant-based is, you know, they're thinking of people that are very thin and that sort of thing. What do you tell people? What advice do you give people? Because you're in very good shape. I mean, you've got to be around, you know, I mean, I don't know, 5% body fat, 200 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually undersized for the wrestling industry. I'm about 5'8", 5'9", and I'll sit anywhere between 175 and 185 pounds. So, in some of these speaking engagements, I kind of joke, I say I confuse people because they look at me and they say, well, you're too small to be a professional wrestler, but you're too big to be a vegan. So how does that work? And I say, well, somehow I'm both. The whole concept that you need to eat animals for protein to build muscles is just flawed, and it's completely false. Your body, when it breaks down proteins into amino acids and then uses those amino acids to rebuild and repair your muscle tissue, it doesn't differentiate or know the difference between an animal protein and a plant protein, and it breaks it down into an amino acid. And really, protein isn't the magic bullet, so to speak, that allows you to put on muscle. It's calories and nutrients. So as long as you're consuming more calories in than you're, you know, exporting out, and you have enough protein and enough amino acids to build muscle, you're going to be fine. And but again, you know, follow the money. And the message now that we're telling people, and even your everyday, you know, Jane and Joes who just have a 9-to-5 and aren't trying to keep on mass or put on size, or they're not breaking their body down on a regular basis as people in my profession do, they think that they need these copious amounts of protein, and it's just false. But again, that's because that's what they're trying to sell you. That's where they're trying to make their money. You know, for a while that, you know, the calcium was the big reason why we needed to drink milk, right? We need milk for calcium, which is funny because, you know, milk actually can deplete the bones of calcium. So it's kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. But, you know, now that that's kind of been debunked and we realize there's all these other calcium sources, they've now switched their campaign to milk for protein. So again, you know, I just encourage people, and again, my book's not about making anybody go vegan. It's about, you know, peeling back some layers and challenging people, you know, to look at conventional wisdom and what they think they, you know, what they think they know because of what they've been taught or what they've been indoctrinated into, and take a second look and realize that, you know, maybe coming all the way to my end of my spectrum and being completely plant-based might not be for them, but this other indoctrination that we've been given, where every meal is meat, dairy, or eggs. Every meal is meat, dairy, or eggs. And I ask people this all the time: what's the last meal you had? Not a snack, but the last meal that you sat down and had that didn't have meat, dairy, or eggs. And I get a bunch of blank stares, and people can't recall the last time. And I know the feeling, because for the first 22 years of my life, I was the exact same way.
I did kind of a reverse thing of that, where a lot of times when I go out to eat, or a lot of times when I go places, I'll look at what other people are eating, and I'll try to break down the ingredients, you know, like pizza, for example. You got cheese, you got pepperoni, you got tomato sauce, and you got a crust, which sometimes has egg in it or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, there's like one ingredient I can eat in there. Okay, so it's really funny when you start breaking it down. But on the flip side, here's what I always tell people about the plant-based diet, is that if you work out at all, I mean, even like 30 minutes a day just doing something, you can really eat as much as you want of a plant-based diet, and you're not going to gain any weight. I mean, it's just you naturally are so thin, and you naturally just kind of look younger, and just the things that I've noticed. Let me ask you this. Your approach seems to be very information-based, very educational-based. I've tried some different ways to communicate it with people, not to convert them, just to try to, I guess, justify my lifestyle's choice, if that's an explanation. I mean, I'm not, a lot of times I feel like I'm defending it, but Dr. Neil Bernard, he's from Fargo, North Dakota. He was in Super Size Me, and he's, yeah, okay. Anyway, he's he took a very scientific approach, and that's what hooked me, was the molecular level of how the plant-based diet versus meat can carcinogen you and that sort of thing. Am I hearing this right, that your approach to this whole lifestyle is almost more of a logical approach rather than an ethical towards animals approach? Not that it's not, but it almost seems more logical than that.
Well, you know, I think, and I talk about it in my book, you know, there was this moment back when I was about 7 or 8, my grandparents had a small farm, and I was feeding some grass to the cow through the fence, and we had a moment, you know, where I was staring in these big eyes of this cow, and it was looking back at me while I was feeding it. And there was this connection there, and I realized, you know, it's just a living creature. It's thinking, it's feeling. I may not speak its language, but, you know, we had this moment, which sounds kind of silly. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, dinner was ready, and we're eating brats and burgers, and I kind of, you know, put the correlation together, and it didn't sit right with me, right? So I think at a base level, the idea of eating other living creatures really is off-putting to me, and it always was, but you just do it, you do what's around you, right? If you want to have dessert, you got to eat your dinner, so to speak. And he didn't really ask too many questions. And again, you know, in the 80s in Wisconsin, of all places, the idea of being vegetarian or vegan wasn't something that, you know, you heard of. It just wasn't a thing. But there was always something that just was off-putting to me about eating these things when you really think about what they are, whether it's the secretions of animals, whether it's, you know, whether it's the, you know, the eggs, you know, when you really think about what an egg is, or when you're actually talking about the flesh itself. So that part always was sitting in me. When I started to actually, you know, peel back layers and realize where the food was coming from, it wasn't coming from my grandma and grandpa's farm. It was coming from these huge corporate slaughterhouses. That's a whole different ballgame. You know, and then looking into what the health factors were. So when I put all these things together, there was just this one point where, you know, I was making a bunch of chicken breasts because I was, you know, starting to train to wrestle, and, you know, I'm buying into that. I need protein for muscle. I'm getting back in the gym, getting back my physique that I'd lost in college, which was, you know, quite easy to do. And I was cooking up all these chicken breasts one day, and it all kind of hit me with everything that I've been learning and my gut instinct. And I just said, you know what, this is really gross, and I think I'm done with this. And the next day, I stopped eating meat. And so again, I'm not a pet person. I grew up around pets. You know, my family had pets, but my life isn't conducive to me having pets. I mean, I'd love to have a dog, but I travel way too much. It would be selfish to try to do that. But I can have a respect and I can have a love for all living creatures without having to be a pet person or without having to take that angle of trying to, you know, shame or shock people into making these decisions. Because like yourself, there's a lot of different angles you can take to try to appeal to people. And the one that for me is the most successful is, hey, go right to the basic selfish level of the person, which is your own health and well-being. And then also don't try to force anything on them or tell them it has to be all or nothing approach. I say, I'm not sitting there trying to shove anybody in the deep end of the pool before they know if the water's nice or if they can even swim. I encourage people to just sit down and put their feet in because I'm confident enough that once they do and they feel how nice it is, that they'll slip in themselves and they'll be swimming on their own in no time.
Austin Aries on the line with us, professional wrestler, also author, Food Fight, My Plant-Powered Journey from the Bingo Halls to the Big Time. Just a couple more questions here. Travel and diet, is that difficult for you to do that? I mean, is it easy? You know, I mean, are you drinking four meals a day? Are these all protein shakes? Or what kind of diet are you having when you're on the road so much?
No, I think if you want to eat a good diet, and travel can be challenging anyway. I mean, most of your food choices, if you're going to go eat out or these fast food places, I don't care if you're plant-based or not going to be very good for you. So, you know, again, I always tell people, so what's the hardest part? I said, the hardest part is committing to that this is now a priority. Once you move it up your priority list, you now commit more of your resources, your time, your money, and your energy. And so, you know, when people say it's expensive to be healthy, well, it is if you don't want to use your time or your energy. If you want somebody else to do the work for you, then it's going to be very expensive. But, you know, what I like to do is I prepare food in my house. I like to cook, which is obviously a benefit for me. And, you know, I have a travel cooler. And, you know, for example, for today, I made some pizza last night. I love pizza. You know, and the great thing is, hey, they make BioLife is a great cheese that I've discovered. That's a coconut oil based cheese. Gardein has a lot of great products. Again, it's processed food. But, you know, just because you're eating vegan or plant based doesn't mean that you're eating rice and carrots all day. If you want to splurge and have something and satisfy a craving, it's out there for you. So I'll make pizza from time to time. And I had some leftovers and I threw it in a Ziploc bag and I threw it in my cooler. And I had some pasta that I had made up earlier in the week. And, I threw that in my cooler, so that I had some meals with me. And then on top of that now, you know, when I get into a town, you know, I can go on something like happycow.net, or I can go on Yelp, and I can look what's around me, what my options are as far as a whole food store or maybe a cafe that, you know, caters to plant-based lifestyle, and go pick a couple things up for the weekend. So it's just about, again, it's about, you know, using your tools, using your information, and putting a little more time and effort into it. And if it's important to you, why shouldn't you? I mean, again, you know, for some reason in this country, we decided that our food choices, we want cheap, easy, and convenient. And I don't understand that. And then people say, well, it's too expensive. But yet I watch people line up for hours upon hours to get the new iPhone and spend $800 on this thing. And that's not convenient, and that's not cheap, and that's not easy. But they'll do that for a device, for technology, but they won't do it for the things they put in their body. You know, they'd rather spend a lot of money on a designer sweatshirt to cover up their body than to spend the money on what to put inside their body. And I think that's, again, that goes back to lack of education, because if people were really informed, that would take a big hit out of the profits of these people that are profiting off of sick people.
What's next, the business-wise, what's next? I mean, you got your speaking, you got your book, you've got your professional wrestling. What's next? Are you going to get into either the product line or anything along those? Because it seems like that's the direction you're going.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, the wrestling schedule, you know, starting tonight's going to pick up. I'm in New York. I'll be in Philadelphia tomorrow for House of Hardcore. You can watch it live on Twitch, which is, you know, an app that you can download for free, and you can watch us live tomorrow night on Twitch. I'm going to head to Australia for 10 days, and I'm going to take my books with me, because a lot of my international fans, with the shipping handling costs, and again, a lot of people want to buy it from me directly, get an autograph, have a conversation. So really, you know, with the wrestling now, I'm going to get out there and get these books in people's hands directly through me. So I'll be in Australia for 10 days. I'll be in the UK for a week later on this year. My schedule next year is starting to fill up. You know, I have a lot of inquiries to do more of these speaking engagements at the Veg Fest and things of that sort. And And I am right now developing a business model to actually be able to go in and work hand in hand with people who are interested to actually go in there and basically overhaul their whole kitchen and set them up for 2 weeks to be plant-based. And also by doing it, by not taking them out of their comfort zone. Because as I was just saying, if you like pizza, I can find you a plant-based pizza. If you like mac and cheese, I know where there's a plant-based mac and cheese. Because I think the one thing is people think it's such a daunting task and it's going to be a complete overhaul to what they're used to. And it doesn't have to be initially, right? So I want to go and work with people who are interested to come in your home and really, you know, let's go through your cupboards, let's go through your fridge, let's toss everything out, let's explain why we're tossing it out, you know, the things that I think are in there with the ingredients list that we want to try to avoid if you want to, you know, improve your diet. And then go out shopping and show them the things that they can replace so that when they go back in their kitchen on Monday, it's not a culture shock. They look and they have the same comfort foods that they had. They have maybe a few new foods that they're going to be excited to try. And maybe there's going to be a few things in there that we're going to omit because they just aren't good for you. And because I want to set people up for success and show them that it doesn't have to be as hard as they think it is, but it doesn't be expensive as they think it is. And that way, after that 2 weeks, then they can figure out what they want to put back in their kitchen when they go back shopping the next time.
Austin Aries, Food Fight, My Plant-Powered Journey from the Bingo Halls to the Big Time. Now, where can people go ahead and get this book at?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best place right now is still at AustinAriesBook.com. We'll be having a Black Friday sale through that website. You can also order it on Amazon. And I also have a pro wrestling tee store, ProWrestlingTees.com, that has shirts and the books available. And, right now we don't have any major retailers. It's kind of more of a grassroots thing. I want to get out and put it in people's hands, personally. I want to have conversations. I want to meet people. But, when I can't do that, people can go to the website and they can order it through there.